Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Monday Night Raw with your Sunday Morning Breakfast family. Tonight is the night that we get to wrap up the previous week's message, and our message has been on PhD in ministry. So Monday Night Raw, you know how it is. We take your questions, we take your testimonies, we take your scriptures that you want to share, but most importantly, we take time out to really review back what we went over in the previous week and just expand our learning of God's Word. So this is Monday Night Raw. Thank you for joining us, and let's go ahead and bring in our leader, Mr. Talius Carr. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Ms. Candy.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
I am wonderful, too, sir.
Good deal. Well, let's go ahead and get started, y'all. This is a Sunday Morning Breakfast, Monday Night Raw. And I'm telling y'all, this is a great topic, and y'all, I got to be honest with y'all, okay? When we talk about PhD in ministry, I'm going to tell y'all, everything don't go your way all the time.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
But then we have to put on the face of God all the time.
Right.
Ms. Kendra, what really went on before you got on the call? Was it all peachy? Is it always all peachy?
No. No. Huh?
But we have to put on this face of God, right? Carlos, what really go on before y'all get on the call? But then you got to get your mind right. Here's the deal. You're talking about having a PhD in ministry. When you're so focused on the job at hand, the task at hand, the lifestyle at hand, you got to really, really, really start to what we call eliminate distractions. Let me help us out for those who may take it the wrong way and the immature way. See, eliminate distractions doesn't necessarily mean get rid of the problem. Eliminate distractions can mean you provide a solution and you correct it. The problem will start to get rid of itself. You don't have to tell something to move when you start bringing God's love into place. You know that, right?
Yes, sir.
Because that which doesn't want to be a part of God will move itself. The reason why I'm bringing this up, when we talk about PhD in ministry, y'all, when we get on the phone and this is real life stuff, y'all hear the teaching voice and the ministerial voice and things like that. But do understand, the same life that we lived, Jesus lived times 200.
True.
Before he had to teach, huh? Even when he was on that boat going to Gadarenes, look at how they disrupted his sleep. Before he even addressed the storm, he had to address them.
Mm-hmm.
Before Jesus addressed the foaming mouth in Mark 9:17-27, he had to address the father of the little boy. Before you even address your degree, you got to address some things, get some things in line first.
Yes, sir.
That's fair enough, y'all?
Yes, sir.
In other words, before you start getting a PhD and studying the Word of God, make sure that your environment is straight.
Mm-hmm.
That's very important. Make sure that your environment is the environment that you want, that the environment is holy, that the environment lines up. No chaos. Okay? You have the authority and power, whoever you are. It's not about what you own and what you possess. We ain't talking about tangible, you know, because if you have more money or just because you got the cars, you know, they can get out your car. No. We're talking about because you have God, and you have the right to tell the enemy, not the individual, but the enemy, okay, that you got to move. You got to move around.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you eliminate distractions, you can actually start studying the Word better, and you can apply it better, too.
Yes, sir.
Ms. Candy, let us go ahead and pray, please.
Father, we thank you for gathering us here together tonight, Lord, and we want to just lift up your name, Lord, tonight, Lord. We pray that each and every person on the call tonight is able to hear directly from you, Lord, no distractions, no anything taking our attention away from the word that you are going to deliver for us tonight, Lord. Lord, we pray over each and every speaker tonight, Lord, that the words that are shared are directly from you, Lord, and that we all line up with your will for our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's get to it, Ms. Candy. Let's get to it. PhD in ministry. Is Mr. DJ on this evening?
Yes, sir. Good evening.
How you doing, Mr. DJ?
Oh, wonderful, wonderful.
Mr. DJ, what you get your PhD in the natural?
in the natural, I have a master's degree in electrical engineering as well as mathematics education and music ed. But
okay.
In the spiritual,
that's close enough to you, master dollars.
Mm-hmm. I'm celebrating. For one, it's storming here in Atlanta, for those of us in Atlanta, but the sun is shining bright. Because I was very excited about this topic. And
That's right.
I just wanted to tell, I think I may have sent out a couple of texts to people, but letting you know, you got your PhD, man, in spirituality, but not the way that other people are thinking. So that's what excites me about this topic.
That's what I'm talking about, and that's good because, you know, like you just said, you know, the PhD is in a whole nother array that we need to learn about. Mr. DJ, as we already know, you ready, but I want to ask you something. Give us a little small synopsis of this past week. Let us dive into your mental psyche right quick.
This past
about this topic. What did you take away from it?
What I took away from it is, first of all, unlike your natural PhD, this education is at hand, and you're already equipped with text. You don't need no government, no funding. Only thing you need is your mind, a humble heart, and an open mind. You need to submit yourself. You need to come to yourself and study. Study to show yourself proven and follow God's word. And I promise you, by the end of this call, everybody on this call is going to have that PhD. You already got it. You just don't know that you have earned it. And the PhD I'm talking about is the power to hold the devil back.
All right. All right, Mr. DJ. Well, see somebody laughing in class. Get them. Get them. Okay. All right, so we have Miss Tiana on the phone. Miss Tiana, how are you this evening?
Oh, great, Mr. Carr, and yourself?
Doing wonderful. So tell us a little bit about what you've learned or taken away this week from the topic of PhD in ministry.
Yes, absolutely fascinating topic, and I love Mr. DJ's acronym right there, Power to Hold the Devil Back. That was fast. That was awesome. But this week, what I really took away is that no matter what we may have studied in the natural, our PhD in ministry is a choice. It's a choice that each of us must stick with and do so on a daily basis, right? It's a choice to ensure that our relationship with God is first and foremost at the forefront, and that we are able to share that relationship with anyone we come in contact with. In ministry, it's not just about knowing the word, but yes, we've got to study, we've got to go through the test, we've got to go through everything as if we were going towards our natural degree, but in God, having faith in him and knowing it is in and through him that all things are possible, that we are able to show who he is to everyone whom we come in contact with. And that's truly living out a PhD in ministry. Awesome topic, and glad that we are talking about it in a sense that even if we're not in walking in PhD, we have the opportunity to reposition ourselves and be right there living life within and through him without any limits at all.
Okay. Good deal. I like that. All right. So y'all know, as we already know, we're about to get started with this call, and this is the SMB Monday Night Raw, the Learning Center. We have a slew of questions, email questions. If you have something that you may want to add, please don't sit on your fingers. Just press star 5. Okay, just press star 5 if you want to add something, a definition, a scripture even. All right? Please participate. It may be something that we have overlooked this past week. And I do believe that the melting pot of Christianity is when everybody chips in.
All right.
Yes, sir.
All right, that's fair enough. Because I promise y'all, Mr. DJ is not as smart as Miss Candy. Miss Candy is not as smart as Mr. Carr. Mr. Carr is not as smart as Miss Tiana. We in this thing together. Because if we had it going on like that, where's our whirlwind? Because Elijah and Elisha was taking up on theirs.
Right.
Okay.
So we all are works in progress. So I think that we all can chip in and help one another out. Okay? That's fair. That's fair. Don't be selfish with the word. In other words, you have it in you, share a little something tonight, even if you have a question. All right? So let's get it going. PhD in ministry. First email question goes to Miss Candy. What did you have for us, Miss Candy?
Alrighty. The question is, my pastor is insisting that I apply to a seminary. I have been hesitant to do so because attending will take me away from my family. I believe that he is urging me on God's behalf, but I don't know what to do about my family. Please help.
All right, Ms. Tian, I'm going to start with you. That's like more like a paragraph. You know, there's somebody who's educated when they have a long question like that.
And exactly that, Ms. Candy, would you mind just repeating that question for me? Because I was trying to take notes, and then I'm like, whoa, there's more coming. So if you wouldn't mind repeating, that would be great.
My pastor is insisting that I apply to a seminary. I've been hesitant to do so because attending will take me away from my family. I believe that he's urging me on God's behalf, but I don't know what to do about my family. Please help.
Okay. All right. Well, you've got to know for yourself. We each receive from the Lord or messengers that he sends the things that he is calling us to do, right? Whether it's going to the seminary or something else, we've got to know deep in our spirit and know God, our relationship with God, to know whether or not this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Because if this is what you're supposed to be doing and you believe it, you just said you believe this is what you're supposed to do, then you need to move forward in it. Because as we talked deeply about yesterday, that once you believe and believe in God, then anything is possible through that belief in him. So he's not going to give you more than you can handle. So if there's anything going on with the family, he's already got that taken care of. All he's asking for you to do is take that step and move in the direction in which he's calling you to do. All else will fall into place once you believe in him.
Okay. Mr. DJ, what you have on that one?
I'm going to take the different approach, and I'm looking at the pastor, but at the same time, preachers are called. I don't care how much schooling and education that you have, preachers are called. You don't want to take that step based on someone recommending you to do that or telling you to do that. What she needs to do is talk directly to God. And she has to fast about it, pray about it. If it's an answer that she wants, just wait on God. There is no time limit on being called. And if God wants you, oh, trust me, he knows how to get to you. If she's unclear, if it's truly in her heart, then she'll make the right choice. So I just think that she needs to just pray a little harder, you know, and not just go based on the pastor, because sometimes, you know, if pastors say, hey, yeah, you need to go, you ready. And then later on, something happens. And, you know, you really weren't ready. Or your family falling apart. And that wasn't God's time. That was pastor's time. So that's why I said I think she just needs to, it never hurts to have just a little bit extra precaution, especially when you proclaim to be a preacher and preaching God's word. I mean, you know, you don't have to just have the quote-unquote seminary degree right now. There are plenty of preachers that are called that haven't been to nobody seminary and have saved more souls than those who have. So in God's time, I think she just really needs to have that conversation with God.
All right, Ms. Candy. So repeat that email question one more time so that everybody can hear it for themselves.
Certainly, sir. It says, my pastor is insisting that I apply to a seminary. I have been hesitant to do so because attending will take me away from my family. I believe that he's urging me on God's behalf, but I don't know what to do about my family. Please help. And Mr. Carr, it's a married male is the questioner.
Okay. So he believes that God is urging him to go. Correct?
Correct.
But he says it's also taking him away from his family. Correct?
Yes, sir.
Correct.
And God wants him to go to the seminary school, though. Okay. Here's the thing. You know, as it pertains to that from, you know, whomever, male or whomever. We all know that God wouldn't put more on you than what you can bear. We know this.
Yes, sir.
Understand mm-hmm. that. A lot of what you learn in seminary school is going to be what you actually enforce at home.
All right.
I believe, you said, taken away from your family. If we do not obey God, Satan is taking you away from your family. In other words, emotionally, you can have the ties that say, physically, I need to be here. But who do you think is more present with your family, you in the flesh or God in the spirit?
All right.
You cannot be of good resources to your family if you don't first apply yourself spiritually in God. Does that mean you need to go to a seminary or a theology school? No, that does not. However, if God is telling you or urging you to go, and it's not a feeling, but it is, the Spirit, tugging away at you, you need to follow God. I don't know God's path. None of us do. But if God is telling you to go, regardless of how it looks like you're being pulled away, in the long run, you will be more of an impact because of what you have learned and what you apply.
Amen.
Jesus said it best. Why, oh why, Mary, that was Jesus' family, do you worry? When I was about my father's business, that was baby Jesus. In other words, he wasn't so much worried about his natural family as he was his spiritual family. He had to go handle God's business so he can be good for Mary and Joseph in the flesh. Did you catch that?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
You see? So I understand that you are the man of the family and you're the head of the family, and God is urging. If God is urging, there shouldn't be no question. Move. It don't matter how it may look, and it's being pulled away. Jesus didn't question. He moved. What baby wants to be separate from their parents? Jesus didn't have a problem because he knew who number one was. So if I have to go and get my PhD in ministry, he said I was about my father's business. Why do you worry? I love Mary and Joseph, but I had to handle my business first.
Mm-hmm.
Make sense, people?
Yes, indeed.
I'm just saying, let's be honest about it. If the theology school pulls you away, how many hours you may spend in theology school? 2 hours, 3 hours? Something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me ask this question, Mr. DJ. What does your job do then? Because how many hours you work a day?
8 to 12.
Yeah, something. I hope the emailer are listening to this too, because let's not lose focus on the PhD part of this. PhD has everything to do with what you said, Mr. DJ.
Power to hold the devil back.
Hmm. And what power do we have on our own to hold Satan back? None.
That's right.
The only power, that we have is through God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens. Strength and power go hand in hand. Who empowers me? So it has to be the word of God that I hold on to. And you can't hold on to the word of God just by verb, but you hold on to the word of God by doing.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You don't hold on to a job by talking about, I work for IBM, you hold on to a job by saying, I go to work. I actually do a job at IBM. I have the proof. So if you can work an 8-hour shift, surely a 2 or 3-hour shift ain't hard, huh?
That's right.
All right.
All right. We can move on to the next question. Did that help, Ms. Candy? Okay, it helped. All right, here's the next email question. I'll pose this one. This is from a caller. It says, is a PhD in ministry from a theological seminary something that I have to have in order to become a pastor of a church? Mr. DJ, I'm going to start with you.
Can you repeat that one more time? I'm sorry.
Okay, is a PhD in ministry from a theological seminary something that I have to have in order to become a pastor of a church?
I will say no.
Okay.
I would say no. It's a piece of paper, and it's good to have. It's more along a certification, but it's a certification from man. You have to only, I don't know what scripture it is, but in the Bible it says you have to be called to preach. It says in the Bible that you have to be called to preach. It doesn't say anything about going to seminary. You can be the biggest Pharisee, Sadducee. All of those people were wise. They knew the Bible. They knew it inside and out. But none of them recognized and respected Christ, who was there in the flesh. So, I'm going to say no. You don't have to have that. You know, like I said, man would like for you to have it. And sometimes comfortability, people, you know, it's like if you come in to fix my air conditioning and this person went to school and they learned how to do it and got a certification, that probably is going to get them the job. But when it comes down to it, if I know how to do the same job and maybe a little cheaper, then and I do what I need to do, my recommendations, my skill is what people are going to look at, and that's what God looks at. Do you know me? Are you doing right by me? You know, if you're saving souls, if you're bringing people to God the correct way, and you're doing these things in his name and following him daily, versus the person that went to seminary, and next thing you know, and I'm not saying everybody that goes to seminary that is useless. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm just saying the two are totally different. You got some people that have gone and been on the news for doing inappropriate things. So you tell me which one you following. So I still say no, not necessary.
Okay. Miss Tiana, I'm going to pose that same question to you. It says, is a PhD in ministry from a theological seminary something that I have to have in order to become a pastor of a church?
Definitely not. I am fully aligned with Mr. DJ. And sadly, in our world, those people's pieces of papers and going to this institution and lining up with what different denominations may require, that all exists. But to be a true pastor of the Church of Jesus Christ, you do not need that paper. You need to be called and follow suit with what God calls you to do, because nothing, absolutely nowhere in the Word says anything about going to school and graduating and getting a piece of paper. All the Word shows us is when God calls, then we are to follow. And in our following and in our obedience, then he's going to provide us what we need to exactly lead his children on back to him. So the answer is no.
All right. Let me pose this question. That was a good question. Thank you so much, Ms. Tiana and Mr. DJ. Is a PhD in ministry from a theological seminary something that I have to have in order to become a pastor of a church? That's a loaded question. Let me give you a loaded answer. I'm going to say yes, and I'm going to say no. Follow me for a second. Well, I wish I could get y'all on y'all natural, because we're on this call right now, so y'all are going to give me a different answer.
Mm.
I wish I could get y'all in the natural. Okay, but if y'all was just talking to me in the natural, and, you know, somebody said, well, I don't need money to live, how many of y'all say they stupid?
Yes.
Y'all know it. And what if they said, but I believe in God, I don't need money to live? How many of y'all kids? Y'all extra stupid. See, here's the thing. Do you need money to live? You absolutely don't need money to live. You got people that are homeless, don't have it. They beg.
The truth.
God can provide. But then you have more than natural. The reason why I'm asking this is twofold, is because you got to meet people right where they are. Because you're going to have those people who still believe in God that are still somewhat carnal that says, yes, you do need money. But watch this. Do you need money to live in heaven?
Nope.
Because he said, let it be done on earth as it's done in heaven. But Mr. Carr, that's two different things. Well, even Jesus needed money, did he really? Go back to your record. He didn't have a pocketbook. You couldn't steal from him. As a matter of fact, when he gave his tithe, he said, go down there to the stream down there. Yeah, about a couple more paces. Yeah, about a mile and a half. Grab the first fish that you see and open his mouth. And watch what comes out of his mouth.
Exactly.
That's not a makeup. Go read your Bibles. The reason why we give in to the yes or the no on this question is because it's where we are. Those who have gone through ministry school and believe in the idea of natural church, meaning, you know, we have pastor and physical building and they have books, and I've done so much, we don't typically want people to surpass us, so if I did it, y'all got to do it. So we're going to say, yes, you do need a certificate. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
I don't have to get mad and get quiet. Y'all know what time it is.
The truth.
Who believe in a higher calling, a higher anointing, you got to be careful with that, too, because they still say, but Mr. Carr, you know better, because the word of God says we still got to obey man law. You obey man law up until it starts to contradict God's law.
Right.
Okay.
Bible says anything, even man's law, that tries to exalt itself. What does the word exalt mean, Miss Tiana?
Try to prove itself above everything else.
Yeah. It tries to exalt, prove better than me, itself up against the word of God. You are to cast it down. So, yes and no on that question. Do you need a theological seminary school degree, diplomas, piece of paper, to own a church? In the natural, yes. You know, in a lot of places, you cannot get no church without that certificate, that paper. Yes, yes, yes.
Yep.
Real talk. Huh? Can you get a bank loan without a driver's license? No.
Nope.
Not at all.
Go on. Can you get a Visa card? I ain't talking about the Visa, the credit card. I'm talking about the Visa to go from here to another country. Can you get a passport without a license, without a birth certificate? Can you get one?
Nope.
Huh. Can you get a church without a seminary, PhD in? It's going to be hard.
Right.
Here's the thing. God don't mind hard. So in one sense, it's no, because it's a natural thing. But in a supernatural thing, yes, you can, because we're having church right now, and we've been having church for 5 years, and we didn't go through that.
Amen.
All right.
Well, there's a will, there's a way. If you want it bad enough and God gave you a vision, nothing can stop his vision and his calling.
Amen.
Because some people will say there's no way that you, no way that you can live without money. And God say, yes way. In other words, you can become such an asset to somebody to where Bill Gates don't have to pay you. Bill Gates actually has bought your house. Bill Gates has paid, you own your house. He has paid for your vehicles. Bill Gates put everything, you don't put a thing. Bill Gates needs you, and you're such an asset to Bill Gates, yes, Lord, that you don't have to pay nothing. Money ain't an object. You just walk in favor.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Come on, y'all. When y'all get in stuff free, did you need money to get in, or was it favor?
Favor.
You know you ain't paid for that last concert, Mr. DJ. Tell them.
Yeah, I paid.
All right, here we go. Let's move on. PhD in ministry. Who got the next email question? What we got? Next email question.
We do have a caller, sir.
All right, what we got?
Good evening, caller. Go ahead with your question for tonight.
Hello, good evening. The question is, it states, I am a deaconess at my church and over one of the ministries there. I have been dating my boyfriend for almost 2 years, and he has recently expressed that he is intimidated by the title that I hold. Could it be that he isn't who God has assigned for me, or should I give him more time to become comfortable with the calling that God has placed on my life?
Ah. Whoa. And two, Miss Tiana, I'm going to start with you.
Oh, fascinating question. God has a calling on your life. He doesn't, with that being the case, he doesn't prescribe that we have to change whom we are for whom we're with. We are to continue and focus our lives and position ourselves to be where he needs us to be. Now, he may have called this person to be in your life. And if he's called you to walk in ministry and be a deaconess, I'm prayerful that he's given you that, the capability of knowing whether or not this person aligns with your life. But it doesn't mean that you also have to give up on him. He may not understand it now, but there's an opportunity for him to also grow in his calling. So it's one of two things. It's yay or nay, but really only God can answer that. And only God is going to truly let you know whom you're supposed to spend your life with. And he's going to tell him that, not you, because it's the man who chooses a wife. So you've got to pray for him, pray with him, and allow God to work in him to determine who's supposed to be his wife, whomever that may be. So focus on that. Focus on praying for and praying with the gentleman so that he can receive the vision from God on what's right for him or his life. I hope that makes sense.
Okay. What you got, Mr. DJ?
I'm a little indifferent. I'm going to say no, because there's something missing to that question. If you're a deaconess, first of all, why, if you're a deaconess, why is this guy your boyfriend 2 years? That suggests to me that either one or two things. Either you are a deaconess and he knew about it, and you all got together, which means that he should have looked before he leaped, or two, which is what I really, really suspect, you weren't a deaconess at first. You guys got together, and you are growing spiritually. And if he's intimidated by you growing spiritually, that means he is not doing what he needs to for himself and his relationship. If you're talking about in terms of marriage, I definitely will say no. But Ms. Tiana is right. Only God has the true answer to that. But again, you have to be careful at what you're doing and who you're doing it with. You know, if you are an eagle, you can't lay with buzzards and producing donkeys and ask why. Or let me give him some time and then he'll become an eagle. No. You know, eagles need to be with eagles. It may sound a little harsh. This is just my opinion and mine only. I think that man, of course, you need to pray for the brother and let him get himself together. You know, because if your lady is in the spirit, me personally, that would motivate me. You know, that would motivate me to be like, oh, wow, man, I get it together. You know, so I don't, you know, this lady, especially if we're in for 2 years, which means that they should be moving towards some type of marriage, he got to get it together. So I think he needs to come to himself and approach God the right way so that he could be a better man for it.
Okay. Can you repeat that question one more time, Carl?
Yes, sir. Okay. It states, I am a deaconess at my church and over one of the ministries there. I have been dating my boyfriend for almost 2 years, and he has recently expressed that he is intimidated by the title that I hold. Could it be that he isn't who God has assigned for me, or should I give him more time to become comfortable with the calling that God has placed on my life?
That's serious too, because a lot of times God can have a calling over a woman's life, right? And sometimes it forces the man to step his game up that he doesn't want to step up in God. He's just comfortable with going to church, not really, you know, doing nothing more than just that. Okay? So he can very well try and, you know, make you make a decision. Because if I'm going to be the head, you need not do that. In other words, I don't want to do better, so you need to come down off the platform.
Right.
So I look higher than you. In other words, you in the fifth grade, I'm on the first grade level. You need to get off the fifth grade level. Let it go if you say you love me and get on the kindergarten level so that I can be above you.
Right.
Make sense? See, the PhD in ministry, even when it comes to her, who said that all men was right and who said that God would just use a man? God, in the Bible, he used a donkey. He used a rock. God uses what he wants to use.
That's right.
I mean, that's something strong. You understand? He uses what he wants to use. Okay? Here's the thing about with God. God can use a woman, and it might not be vocal all the time, but God can use her to convey a message to him through her lifestyle, not through her lips.
Amen.
Amen.
If he chooses to miss the message, it shouldn't be a question of if is this my mate or if I need to give him time. Just keep on living the lifestyle that God calls you. He called you to be a deaconess in the church. You do what God tells you to do, not what people perceive that you should do.
That's right.
If God called you to be a deaconess, you better be a deaconess.
Amen.
The PhD comes by way of what, Mr. D? DJ, what PhD mean again?
Power to hold back the devil.
All right, then. The devil comes in the form of the natural love. See, I love him, but I love God, too. No, no, it don't work like that. Because when you love God, nothing else should be on that platform. In other words, God has a mountain of peace all by himself. No dust should be up there. Meaning your mom and daddy picture shouldn't be on there. Your picture shouldn't be on there. Boyfriend, girlfriend picture shouldn't be on there. God has a mountain by himself. Anything that tries to get on God's mountain, you need to break it, tear it down, or put it somewhere else. So in other words, your love for God supersedes everything else. So if God called you to be a deaconess, if he rejects you because of it, oh well, let him reject you as long as God don't reject you.
Amen.
Yeah, when we ain't God, you're going to lose some things. You know that, right?
Yes,
sir.
Here it is. Huh? The Bible clearly says it. The things that we think we lost, we actually gained.
Yes.
You think God is going to give you, allow you to lose and you to be empty? No, he was just correcting your flesh. In other words, God is testing you, PhD in ministry, deaconess. I want you to be that, you know, but I want you to want what I want for you.
Right.
That's called total trust. When I want whatever DJ wants for Mr. Carr and I want what he wants for me, that's called total trust. That means I don't have a mind to know what I want. I just know DJ, and because I love the friendship so much, DJ, whatever you say, that's what I'm going to roll with.
All right.
It don't matter what Tiana say. DJ said he wanted me to be an apostle. I'm going to be an apostle. DJ just said he just wanted me to be a front door greeter. That's what I'm going to be.
All right.
Tiana can say, well, ain't no friend of mine going to be no front door greeter. And I can say, well, I value this more than I value you, Miss Tiana, no disrespect. But if you can't accept what DJ has for me, and DJ is perfect, God sent him, well, I understand, Miss Tiana. You have a good day going here. That's it.
Mm-hmm. True.
Because the one who's willing to get in the way of your PhD, of you following God, and that's what God called you to do, if they're willing to get in the way of your calling towards God, you don't need them because they become a ball of wax. And when you get wax in your ears, you can't hear clearly.
Amen.
You'll miss your calling.
All right.
I'm serious, people. And if y'all know it, the more noise you hear, the more wax tries to protect the eardrum. It builds up. Y'all notice that? Put some earbuds in your ears and listen to them every day when you go work out. I guarantee you, you'll start following that wax start building up in your ear. Guarantee. I'm talking about 8, 9, 10 months, that stuff will be falling out in your beard. You'll be like, all these wax is in my... Yeah, because the ear is trying to protect itself with ear wax.
Right.
And earbuds are the closest thing. It's one thing to be on the phone, but an earbud is literally in your ear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, did that help, Carla?
Yes, it did. Thank you.
Yeah, good deal. Next email question. Who we got?
Mr. Carl, we have another caller.
All right, what we got?
Good evening, caller. Go ahead with your question for us tonight.
Yes, ma'am. In 1 Corinthians 7 and 14, can you tell me what it means when it says, for the unbelieving husband has been sanctified through his wife, and the unbelieving wife through her believing husband?
Okay, hold on. Give me that scripture one more time.
It's 1 Corinthians 7 and 14.
Okay. 1 Corinthians 7 and 14, all right. Let's see what we got. Let me read that scripture for everybody. As she just stated, it says, for the unbelieving husband has been sanctified through his wife, and the unbelieving wife has been sanctified through her believing husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but as it is, they are holy. Now, we got to break down some stuff. Let's break down some stuff, some of these answers right quick. Okay? She caused me to go to my little Bible dictionary. Hold on one second.
Okay.
Uh-huh. I like this. I like the study. Let's get it. Sanctified. Holy Ghost filled. To sanctify means to set apart.
Mm-hmm.
Sanctified means dedicated as holy for God's use. Everybody got that?
Yes, sir.
Sanctified. So for the unbelieving husband has been sanctified, set apart, dedicated as holy for God's use through his wife. And the unbelieving wife has been sanctified, set apart, and dedicated for God's use through her believing husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean. But as it is, they are holy. Okay? Your question is, what does it mean to be, what is it again?
What does that scripture mean, for the unbelieving husband has been sanctified through his wife?
Okay. Y'all want to answer that or y'all want me to answer?
I mean, I can take a stab at it, but yeah. I still want to hear your clarification on it, too. It's my opinion is that means that the unbelieving husband, you know that husband that say, y'all going to Sunday school, y'all going to church. He don't go with you. He don't pray. He's not into God the way he should be as head of household. The spouse, the wife, she's not going to go to hell because him as the head failed to do what he's supposed to do. For one, your kids will be sanctified and blessed from her teaching. It's supposed to follow the man of the house, but since he's lacking, she has enough Christ in her. And I'm just speaking in natural terms so I can like break it down. But she has enough spirit in her to teach the kids so that they may be saved and get the blessings versus mm-hmm. going to hell with the husband and vice versa. Okay.
So the husband.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
So the husband will go to hell, but the wife won't?
What will happen is that wife needs to continue looking to God instead of her husband, like totally to God. And in that, the spirit will work itself out to where either that husband is going to conform and be where he's supposed to be, or he's going to have to flee from those kids. he will miss out on that blessing. He will miss out on God's promise.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be condemned. That's what I'm saying. You're not gonna come in here and you're abusive and drinking, but yet, you know, your wife and kids are going to church, they're on the knees, they're praying, they're doing what they're supposed to, because it says that the wife is supposed to be the helpmeet for the husband. The husband is supposed to be the spiritual leader in the relationship. So how can you lead somebody if you don't know where you're going? You can't expect no woman to follow you if you don't know what you're doing or where you're going. That's kind of like the problem today. There's a lot of men out there who don't know God, period, and wondering why they're not getting anywhere with any woman. And what I'm saying is you don't have to numb yourself down just because he's supposed to be the quote-unquote man in a relationship, but he don't know but one, two Bible verses and don't know nothing about God. So, no, you won't. You know, it's like Jacob will not lose his reward if Israel refuses to obey. So you continue doing what you're supposed to do, and it works vice versa. The same way.
Okay, so when it says the unbelieving husband has been sanctified, and he says sanctified means made holy, set apart.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. That means that man can be saved through her. That man and the kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she can be the head, in other words. She can, she can, and I'm just saying these in of course, non-professional terms. She can be the one to step up and say, hey, nah, we don't need to go that way. We need to go this way.
Mm-hmm.
She can be that light, that beacon that the kids need to look up to.
Okay.
All right. Ms. Tiana, you want to?
Yeah. What I would add is that basically the unbelieving husband, he receives the blessings that are granted upon that household, upon that family, through the the faith and the love and obedience of his wife. So he is receiving all the benefits because of the work, the faith that she is walking through on a daily basis. Just like on the other side, the unbelieving wife also receives the blessings of her believing father. The reality is that's because God is looking upon them because they are doing as they call them to do. In the same token, if that person is no longer in their lives or chooses to move on, then that wife or that husband who were faithful in God are not impacted because they continue to follow what God called them to do. They continue to be true obedient servants of him and show that to the children, right? That they too could be holy, so they too can live up and live the life that God called them to do.
Okay.
I hope that helps.
All right. Well, let me help you out with this right quick. Okay, you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm listening for yours now.
Are you listening for mine? Let me do a little razzle dazzle. Okay, that's what I do. Okay, so 1 Corinthians 7:14, for the unbelieving husband has been sanctified through his wife, and the unbelieving wife has been sanctified through her believing husband. Otherwise, your children will be unclean. But as it is, as it stands, they are holy. Let's first go back real quickly.
Mm-hmm.
To the scripture right before it. Wow.
Okay.
Look at it, y'all. 1 Corinthians 7:13. And if a woman has a husband who is not a believer and he is willing to live with her, she must not divorce him. Here's the thing. If she's a believer and he's willing to live with her, she must not divorce him. If he's willing to live with her, she is not to divorce him. Put us as the wife and God as the husband. If she is willing to live, listen to this. To be willing to live with, meaning I'm willing to change.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. For the unbelieving husband has been sanctified, meaning ED, past tense. The unbelieving husband was an unbeliever, but now has been sanctified through his wife. It's not that he can receive her blessings is that, see, here the Bible says, when you lift me up, I will draw everybody. She didn't do nothing but lift God up. God did the rest. In other words, she wasn't trying to keep her marriage. She just held on to God. Y'all got to hear me now.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all don't hear me, though. Hear me good. She wasn't trying to keep her marriage. A lot of people lift God up when they're just trying to keep the marriage, and as soon as they got the marriage, that's when the God goes down. That's when you start hitting more. He becomes her God. She becomes his God.
All right.
See, when you lift God up, I'm not DJ Friend, you know, in other words, y'all listen to this. I'm not trying to be holy just to keep DJ's friendship. I'm holy because that's who I am. If DJ just so happens to stay because of my holiness, so be it. But if he desires to go because of my holiness, so be it too. I will not shed a tear because I'm so focused on God, it's not about a DJ.
Mm-hmm. All right.
See, we get this marriage thing, PhD in ministry, confused. We're so fixated on the marriage and not who are we serving in the marriage.
Amen.
And what will happen is you will start to say, well, who's the unbeliever? And why would the marriage not stay? So then we start to put emphasis on the marriage and not who you're serving in the marriage. Your first marriage is to God. For the unbelieving husband has been sanctified through his wife. It's not because of she delivered him. It's because she didn't let go of God. That's how he became sanctified, and he saw the God in her. And he wanted to change because God is a pure gentleman. She can't sanctify nothing that God can't sanctify, and God don't force himself on nothing.
Amen.
Y'all need to hear this. She didn't sanctify him. The Bible said if. We just talked about it last night, you believe. The if ain't on her, the if ain't on God, the if ain't on the church, and the if ain't on the children. It's if he wanted to change. But why would you want to change if you don't see better? Hello?
Right.
Hello, somebody. If I see you acting like the devil, why would I want to change from acting like the devil? But when I see God progressing in your life, not that you're getting everything, but even in the midst of your storms, woman, and I'm the husband and I don't believe, but I see how you maintain the family structure. I see how you never gave up on me. I see all the attributes that you talk about, you really live. I want to know more about this God. Don't you leave me.
Amen.
Amen.
And then he went on to say, and the unbelieving wife has been sanctified through her believing husband. He didn't sanctify her, but because he believed, in other words, through her faithful husband. And when you have faith, come on, y'all. Y'all heard it. His name was J-O-B, not Job, but Job. See, his wife was sanctified through him because she said, curse God and die. That means she was an unbeliever. But Job said, hush, silly woman, I am more concerned about my relationship with God than my relationship with you. If he was more concerned about his relationship with her, why would he disrespect his wife and call her silly? It wasn't meant to be an insult. It was meant to be spiritually corrected. But he didn't divorce his wife because his wife was willing to get it right. She was sanctified through her husband. In other words, Mr. DJ, just because one go to heaven, see, if the wife go to heaven, y'all, the husband got to go. If the wife go to hell, the husband, in other words, you can't have a split when it comes to heaven and hell in a marriage. Wherever one go, the other one gonna go. Don't get it twisted. Now, here's the thing. Don't roll the dice and have a believer with an unbeliever because God told you, do not intertwine. He said this to the Corinthian church. Do not get involved with unbelievers. That's when he said, do not be yoked with unbelievers. Remember that? Remember that, people? But look at what this scripture says. For the unbelieving husband has been sanctified. In other words, he said once he was an unbeliever, but now he's holy. He's set apart. And the unbelieving wife, she didn't believe in God, but now she's set apart
because you have been set apart. In other words, she saw your love for me, and you refused to let me go. Y'all know how it goes. People want what they can't have. In other words, I ain't God, but shoot, they serving God. I want to know about the God that he serves, especially if he put God's relationship above our friendship. I want to know about this God. Caller, you want to let me show you an example. Any woman on this phone, if you be honest and truthful, if you had somebody that you was dating, and that man was so in love with this person, never talked down on this person, and he left you for this person, and he speaks highly of this person, you want to know who this woman is. Hello, somebody. Y'all want to be quiet on this phone tonight? Y'all don't care about the woman if he talked about her, but if you see this woman that he talked about and she's beautiful, y'all feeling hurt. She's successful, y'all feeling hurt. Come on, fellas, that's how we are too, right? But if she don't look like she got it going on, y'all laughing.
Right.
See, for the unbelieving person, when you actually in a relationship with God, see, the one who's sanctified has a relationship with God means that, what does sanctified mean? We gave a definition. What is it, y'all?
Set apart.
Set apart. So when you set apart, that means it's special. You know, when you set apart just for marriage, y'all know how y'all do it. I'm saving that for marriage. That means you set, that means it's special. Right? So you have been set apart for God. So that means your whole relationship with God has been set apart. You don't think that the person who thought they had power over you in marriage, because we think when we marry somebody, I control them now. But you don't think that they now realize that my marriage comes second to their relationship with this God? I want to know who this God is. You don't think they can get people mind right?
Indeed.
Huh? And watch what it goes on to say. Otherwise, your children would be unclean. In other words, if neither one of you was sanctified, your children would be unclean. But it says, as it stands, but as it is, they are holy. In other words, the reason why they're holy is because one of you lifted me up, and the other one chose to follow suit. But see, all it takes is one for the kids to be holy.
All right.
Y'all see it?
Yes, sir.
Y'all see it? In other words, if we are children of God, this is about to get interesting, people. This is why your relationship, PhD in ministry is very important, that you learn about God and that you apply what you learn about God, because when you apply what you learn about God, what you're essentially doing is lifting God up. And when you lift God up, that's better than lifting up, you know how we have that mantle and we keep our kids PhD, their master's and their diploma. We're so proud when they get that kind of stuff. Well, when you lift up God, you think you have children that want to lift him up too?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
indeed.
Now,
right.
Hold on. The Bible says we are children of God. If we be children of God, who lifted God up enough for us to follow suit? Uh-oh.
Amen.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. That's why he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. In other words, I'm not necessarily looking at my natural mom and daddy, but I'm looking at my spiritual believing daddy. I'm looking at the life of Jesus. He lifted God up. Because, see, your natural mom and daddy might not be saved. That is not a pass for you to say, well, I don't have to be saved. If you are to be called a child of God, that means you have to make sure that your parents are believers. Who are your parents? Who is your family? The Bible says those who follow God. You know who your parent is? God. Jesus. The Holy Spirit. Therefore, as it stands, you are holy because your daddy is the right person.
All right.
That makes sense to you, Carla?
I got one more question.
Did Job's wife,
because she said curse God and die, did she go to hell and he went, or did she go to heaven and he went?
See, the thing is we don't know where nobody's going. Let me say this clear. PhD in ministry. Can I help somebody out?
Please.
Let me help somebody out. As much as emotional as you want to be, remember the Bible says we are not to judge. Y'all do know a form of judgment is calling Tiana holy when God calls her hellish. Y'all do know that judgment can also be lifting people up when God didn't do so, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Body? See, we think that judging always puts people down. Don't you know that you can make a judgment call? You know when people have these, you know, when they go to, people have been called by the Lord and they go in and they say, oh, they're in heaven. How do you know that? Who told you that? I don't put my mouth on that because I don't have the right to say that. Your emotions may say that. Now, if you be saying that and they're not up there, who's the liar, Satan? I don't know where Job went. Okay? I don't know where Moses went. Now, we can say more than likely where they went, but do you know for sure? But I do know where Jesus at. I do know where Elijah at. I know where Elisha at. I know where they're at because the Bible says it.
Right.
So I don't know where everybody else went. I don't know. We can proclaim and say, you know, I can say 99 or 95% of, yeah, I'm sure they are. But I'm not going to make that statement because that 5%, I could be absolutely, I don't know. That's God's call. And some business, you know, when it's wrongful business, we as kids stay out of it. That's God's call. I don't have a call in that. As a matter of fact, nobody on this phone knows where you're going. Now, you might say that I know I'm going to heaven, but do you really know that, or can you only give yourself a chance? Hello.
Give yourself a chance.
That's right.
I know in bigness and boldness and we speak it into existence, but let's be real. God still is the one who makes that call, right? So all you can do is give yourself a chance.
That's right.
So with that being said, as far as Job and his wife, we can say that he is going to heaven, and people would, but I don't have heaven's roll call, so I don't know. So as opposed to make that judgment call, I can only say that I know God was pleased with him at that time. That's it. That's all I can say. Unless we in heaven and we know, y'all. That's it. That makes sense, people?
It does.
I hope that helped, Carla.
All right. Thank you.
All right. And those things, they get really touchy because people don't want to hear that I know my loved one. I'm fine with that. I'm glad you know, but I don't. I don't make God's calls like that. You know, when you have a PhD in ministry, you also understand that I'm not the dean. So I don't give up. No, I fell in grade. The dean does, not me.
All right.
As a matter of fact, the Bible says that some things will remain a mystery. As a matter of fact, we don't know when God is coming back. Jesus didn't even know when God was coming back.
Amen.
That's true.
Right? Oh, I'm sorry. And the other person I do know there was in heaven, the one who was on the cross that really got his mind right with Jesus. He said, in paradise you will be with me. You know, so we know that. That's what God said. But shoot, everybody else, y'all, we can only give ourselves a chance. Don't know. And that's not being a Debbie Downer. But if you want raw facts, you know what I'm saying? You know how you just said, oh, I know my child ain't do that. And your child really did do that? You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, so do we have any more email questions? Everybody good?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yes.
PhD in Ministry of Life, Mr. DJ's, you know, his acronym. Tell us one more time, Mr. DJ.
Power to Hold the Devil Back.
PhD in Ministry. Mr. DJ, I'm telling you, I was thinking of an acronym earlier, and one of them was power. One of them was purpose. One of them was holiness. Yeah,
okay.
You know, it was discipline, discipleship, a PhD in ministry, power to hold the devil back. See, here's the thing. The only thing that gives us power, the only way that we have power is through God's word. Now, it's not that you having the word, it's you knowing how to use the word. But if I'm not mistaken, you lose muscle when you don't exercise it. So the only way that we can have power to hold Satan back, see, our physical power is no match for a spiritual devil. The only way we have power to hold Satan back, yes, Lord, is through physical fitness called faith.
You don't exercise your faith. How lean are you spiritually? How flexible are you spiritually? You done pulled a muscle, huh? Because you're trying to lift some stuff that you're not used to lifting. Right? PhD in ministry, y'all. Power to hold the devil back. And we all have it. The thing is, we have to exercise it. And the way that you exercise your faith is not just using it on easy stuff. You got to exercise your faith on those days when you really don't feel like going to the gym.
All right.
I tell my clients all the time, it ain't raining inside the gym. It's not snowing inside the gym. It's not, listen, rain, sleet, or snow. Get your behind to that gym and exercise. Because if you only do it for a fad or when somebody else is doing it with you, then you are sadly mistaken that you are going to not be strong as you think you are. See, your workout partner should be your trainer. The reason why your workout partner should be your trainer and God is a trainer, the reason why, because this is his job. See, when you have a friend that's a workout partner, as soon as they get a little boo, I'm telling you, they're going to stop coming to the gym. They're going to be doing.
Yep.
Let them get a little. As soon as they get a boo, because they was only working out to look sexy and somebody to like them, so now they got it. You know how it go when you get married, you kind of lose your shape because you get boo. So they're comfortable. They don't see the need of working out. But see, when you really exercise your faith, you know that it ain't all about physical. It's about the internal health. That means when you go to the doctor's saying, phew, who you go to see? I want to go see that trainer too. And you tell them, God.
All right.
So see, we think that, you know, physically holding the devil back means that we look the part. We got the articulation. We got the nice Mercedes. We got the nice house. We got the nice shoes. We got the watches. We got the nice dresses. We got, you know, things that other people don't have. No, that's the physical part about it. But internally, are you good? Do you really apply God's word? Do y'all, have y'all been really applying God's word? Do y'all really have the power to hold the devil back? Y'all, let me tell you this, PhD in ministry. Satan don't want you to necessarily serve him. Satan just don't want you to serve God. But watch this. How does Satan operate? Satan does not want you to ever check yourself.
Right.
As long as he can keep you from holding yourself accountable, Satan has an opportunity to come in and steal your PhD. Because if you don't hold yourself accountable, do you think God can hold you accountable?
Okay.
How can you trust a God that you've never seen, yet you can't hold yourself accountable that you see on a daily basis? In other words, integrity should come in or kick in when it comes to PhD people. When it comes to living every day for God, integrity says, I don't care who sees me and who don't see me. See, I ain't trying to put on a show. Integrity says, I'm going to be right in God regardless of who sees me because I know that I'm a child of God. I don't live right because I know God is looking. I live right because I know I'm an extension of him.
Amen.
Mr. DJ, let's go ahead and pray.
Yes, bow your heads. Dear Father, we come to you on bended knee, humble as we know how. We come before you, Father, as mere students before a great teacher. Help us to realize, Father, that my doctor and me both have the same doctor, which is you. You're the chief doctor. We ask you for blessings, Father, traveling grace and mercy, and for us giving that power to hold the devil back. We realize only you can keep, Father. You grant us the power to hold him, but only through you we get this power. Help us to be able to listen and maybe something said manifest and grow to where we can go out and not get any credit for it, Father, but to give it all to you, to go about and tell the world of who you are in your teachings, and let it live through us, Father, that we may be an example. Father, we want to ask you for your anointing,
and blessings as we go about our daily lives and all the separate places that we represent and homes that we represent on this phone under the sound of my voice. I ask in your son Jesus' name, we pray, amen.
Amen.
Y'all have a great night. Make sure y'all catch us on Wednesday for Bible study at 8 p.m. Y'all have a great night.
Good night.
Bye. Good night.